as a fort commander, very easily conquers invading plunderers by taking shelter of a wife. One can conquer the senses, which are unconquerable in the other social orders. Purport by Divine Grace Asi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Gita. Of the four orders of human society, the student, brahmachari, or the householder, or grihastha, the retired, or the vanaprastha, or the renounced sannyasi, the householder is on the safe side. The bodily senses are considered plunderers of the fort of the body. The wife is supposed to be the commander of this fort. Therefore, whenever there is an attack on the body by the senses, it is the wife who protects the body from being smashed. The sex demand is inevitable for everyone, but one who has a fixed wife is saved from the onslaught of the sense enemies. A man who possesses a good wife does not create a disturbance in society by corrupting virgin girls. Without a fixed wife, a man becomes a debauchee of the first order and is a nuisance in society, unless he is a trained brahmachari, vanaprastha, or sannyasi. Unless there is rigid and systematic training of the brahmachari by the expert spiritual master, and unless the student is obedient, it is sure that the so-called brahmachari will fall prey to the attack of sex. There are so many instances of fall down, even for great yogis like Krishnamurti. A grihastha is saved, however, because of his faithful wife. Sex life is the cause of material bondage, and therefore it is prohibited in Sri ashramas and is allowed only in the grihastha ashram. The grihastha is responsible for producing first quality brahmachari, vanaprastha, and sannyasi. Om Janatirandasya Janandana Shalakaya Chatur Milita Nena Tatmai Shri Vrindavana Shri Chaitanya Manovitam Stapitam Yenagurave Sayam Rupa Karamayam Garatitva Padam Krishna Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shalakaya Sajjatam sahagana rabinatam vitantam sajivam Sajjatam sahagana parijana sahita Krishna chaitanya devam Shishivada Krishna param sahagana lalita Shri Vishakam kutam Pancha kapa srubhyasya Krikasya yubhyasya Jijanam Pavanidhyo Vaishnavedhyo Nama Krishna Kvadiya Kajapanka Japanjarantam Ajayvame Vishatu Manasarajantam Prana Prayaman Namaye Kapavata Pistai Kantavaro Dhanavido Smaranam So this is a nice verse in purport for those who, I don't know if we have this problem in India, but sometimes it says women are less intelligent. People get very upset by that. If we read everything, we see a balance in everything in the scripture, and an ultimate understanding of the balance of life that we can only learn from Krishna. So in marriage, the wife is called the better half. But some are saying, why half? What do they want to be, the better three-fourths? Half, because normally there's one husband and one wife. But the wife is the better half. So generally in all societies, marriage is recommended for every young man and woman to protect both of them. In Islam, it's considered a sinful not to get married by the time you're quite young, 7 years. Because
different reasons. One is that, like Prabhupada was explaining, when they first opened British factories in India, the first question they asked all the applicants for work was, are you married? And they wouldn't take anyone who was not married. It's because they thought they get a little money, then they'll just go somewhere else. They want to know you've got a dad, you've got a house, you've got children, you have a little school, you're not going to run off and stay there and work. That keeps people, ideally, that, you know, otherwise a man and girl are looking around at everybody when they get to a certain age. And the senses that go wild. So the idea is that one is married and they focus their attention on one. And then the man has to work and maintain the wife. The wife said, we have to have money. We need money. We have to work. The children have to get something. We have to pay their bills. And the man will work. But a Brahma, these, you know, unmarried men that get older and then they don't work very hard and get a little money and they take rest. You know, nobody's pushing. They don't have it on their own. And that kind of desire to get a bigger house and, you know, get better clothes and dress the children and all that. So that helps. And sex urges, ideally, over control between the man and the wife. Now, in our society, because very limited also. They just don't want to have children. But this is the idea. So this is a house owner, of course, or on the wife speaking. And generally, everyone has to pass through the four orders. Not everyone goes through four, but at least a student by celibate life and then household life. But the sukha is to stay in the household life. Others maybe some bottom products that are sannyas. Sometimes someone is especially qualified and they don't need to go through the household life before. Maybe a brahmachari is alive and they take sannyas directly from it. You know, in rare occasions, Sukadeva Goswami, Madhvacharya, he wanted to take sannyasa 8 years old. His mother was very enthusiastic, crying that he might have a son, and, you know, the white people want to have sons and take care of them when they get old. And he said, all right, I'll wait until he put another son. So his mother was pregnant. When he heard the baby cry, he went to the temple and didn't go in and say bye-bye. He didn't go in to look at his younger brother. He just went to the temple and took him down. So Shankaracharya was 8 years old. And his mother also was not favorable for him to take him. So one day she heard him crying, help me, help, help. And she ran, he was in the river with the crocodile biting his leg. He was saying, help me, help me. And she said, how can I help you? First, another one. He said, let me take sannyasa. Oh, all right, all right. And then crocodile disappeared and he took sannyasa. So there are exceptions. But generally, one has to experience household ashram, work, and it's an important ashram because it's supposed to support the other three ashrams. And also we're supposed to see the brahmachari like his children. And, you know, always trying to help them, support them, and serve them. And he's supposed to help the, you know, vanaprasthas who are begging and whatever the sannyasi. Because in the brahmachari sannyasi and vanaprastha business, scope for doing business and having a job and all of tradition. And nowadays, in modern society, of course, we have a lot of, in this country, a few new ashrams, unmarried bachelors. But in general, there are four orders. In Kali Yuga, you know, things are mixed up, and the most important thing is everyone is engaged in devotional service. So when there's marriage, the husband and wife, normally in materialistic society, they're both thinking, you know, what will I get out of it? What will I get? One, there's many books now about the differences between men and women. And one was saying how the man is thinking, well, I'll get married so I can have sex all the time. I have a woman right there. The woman is thinking, well, I'll have sex so that I can get money and house and children and all that. That motives are different. Sounds gross, but life in society is different. Whatever we're doing is supposed to be, whatever relationship we establish, whoever we establish that relationship with, from the, you know, the first devotee we meet, the guru, Krishna himself, our marriage, our own children, everything is meant to how we can help each other in devotional service. That's supposed to be ideal. In the Brahmacharya ashram, the Brahmacharya says, you know, work to help each other. And when the householders come to the temple and they see very nice brahmacharis, very enlivened and, you know, serious and sadhana, then they become a nama to help the temple, to support the temple. Right? It's teamwork. And when they support the temple, then the brahmacharis become a nama. They're free to preach him. A lot of times conflict, the brahmacharis are thinking those householders, they don't have the mamaharti, and, you know, they're this and that, and enjoying. And the householders thinking those brahmacharis are raising bombs, they don't know what it's like to have to work, and, you know, maintain and pay taxes, and, you know. That is our foolishness. But we should all be respecting every other ashram. No one is superior or inferior according to ashram or according to varna. What the only way we can judge, and we should be judging ourselves, is how much are we engaged in devotional service. How much time are we spending here in chanting and remembering and, you know, worshiping the deities or, you know, doing whatever different kinds of devotional service. And we should appreciate anyone who is doing devotional service. So marriage is described as not for sense gratification like normally people are thinking. And because of that mentality now in the modern society, so many marriages are less than normal. Because they're expecting so much sense gratification. You don't get so much. It's not always that. Bed of roses, they say in America. It's a book I never thought, I promise you, a rose garden. You know, life has got its trials and tribulations. But if one is focusing on Krishna and keeping Krishna the center of whatever relationship we have, then all those relationships become sublime. Whether we're preaching to the, you know, person who never heard Krishna before, or is interested amongst the devotees, keep Krishna in center. We want to learn from everyone. We want to help everyone. Reciprocal. How we can serve Krishna. Everybody has different service to do. Krishna inspires people in different ways to get involved in service. I just heard Shri Kirti Prabhu, a story you've probably heard many times, I never heard the last part of it. One time we were on an airplane, one of the times, and Prabhupada was eating some puff drive, something he liked. Then he gave it to Shri Kirti and another sannyasi that was sitting on the aisle. And the air hostess came by and she just grabbed some and ate it. Prabhupada for a night. She said, well, this is really good. And then she said, do you want anything else? I can go and Prabhupada said, yes, I want hot milk. And she said, I can go in the first class and I can get all kinds of nice things. So she went away and she came back with all kinds of nice fruit and hot milk for everybody. So that one I heard many times. But then he said, he met a devotee in South America. He said, I'll tell you one same kind of story. They were going really far in the villages or very remote places in the Jeep. And in one of those places was a girl who was a devotee. And he asked her, how did you know, and she said, well, I used to work on the airplane and I ate Prabhupada Brahman. And then she did some service. And then now she became a devotee. So Krishna arranged it, you know, for people in every way. And Prabhupada was always, you know, only thinking of everyone who was spiritual and how to wake them up to their connection with Krishna. Therefore, everyone who met Prabhupada, even if they were challenging in the beginning, they went away very, very happy. Even sometimes he was smashing them, but they would, oh, thank you very much, I'm so glad I met you. Because he was loving, dealing with everyone, understanding their part, their servants of Krishna, and just praying to Krishna, how a person can engage in Krishna's service. So that should be the higher standard of the household life. And then the senses can be controlled because the man has a purpose, he has some children, and then hopefully, you know, even in material society, he's trying to take care of his children, you know, make a decent house, feed them. But now in Kali Yuga, it says, you know, it's not that easy. They say in America, many men are not getting married because they just can't afford it. They're working, but they live with their mother. And they're afraid that the expenses are going so high. Of course, part of that is because they have such a high standard of living that they think they have to have so many unnecessary things. So then they can't get any income. Some people are more simple. They can live, you know, in a very simple environment and be very, very happy. That is required, a change of consciousness. So by spreading Krishna consciousness and by becoming Krishna conscious, we should be doing the real thing to calm the senses and let it live peacefully no matter what. Because the Kali Yuga is there have always been so many disasters. It seems like now there's much more than ever. But the history of every place is just wars. In Europe, they had the 100 years war, the 7 years war, and this war, that war. So when you study history, what do you study? Wars and natural disasters. And, you know, the wars now, I saw a documentary about that Genghis Khan. Sometimes in their war, millions of people would be killed. They burned whole cities, completely destroyed entire cities. Everything burned to the ground. And now these wars, you know, it's not that many that everybody's upset, but when the earthquake comes, or the cyclone, or the tsunami, or the flood, all these things that are, you know, in the news constantly, and there's more and more and more of them. Now they keep such close records, you know, especially in America, of every hurricane and every tornado, and, you know, and every year there's so many more than the previous year. And they're more powerful. And more blood, more droughts, right? And so then oil wars, they're fighting wars over oil, they're fighting wars over, you know, over nothing sometimes. Some piece of land is, like Prabhupada said, China and India, land that nobody really wants, but they're fighting over it. That God would strip them in Israel, you know, it's just a desert. Even the Jews can't agree, like if the Bible says it's Jewish or not. So they go back and forth. Because it's Kali Yuga. They have to fight, quarrel, they have to be crazy because they're letting their senses run completely wild. governments are just licensing casinos and lotteries, slaughterhouses and liquor. And yesterday we were driving to Corridor and I saw that one section there with so many liquor shops, big signboard. All the women. No, getting drunk. In Europe, that's a big concern. They call it binge drinking. People get so drunk they almost die. Girls used to just kind of hang around, but now they get more drunk than men, get in big fights. They have one ambulance that's called a booze bus. Special ambulance when somebody passes out drunk and they call out. And they specialize in, you know, taking care of people that drank so much that they almost died. It's very busy. Every day it can fall so many times. People have, because they have no satisfaction and no Christian consciousness. So we're trying to reach out to all these people with both God, the Holy Name, the temple, so that people can come and take shelter and find out what is real life. Real life is not what ashram we're in or what marga we're in. That is not the real thing. Anyone in any ashram or any varna can be elevated to Bodhi. And any ashram or any varna can also be an external varna. Like in Kali Yuga, there's many of them. They're not living the real life of the Babaji. Their life is in sense gratification completely. But, you know, because of their dress, people look at them doing it also. It's important. There may be someone who's, you know, in an awful life, running big business, having many children and grandchildren. But they may be very, very faithful. They're just always thinking about this and how to engage, make arrangements for more and more people to contact Krishna. So whatever ashram you're in, whatever varna you're in, the real thing is to be thinking about how to serve Krishna and how to engage other businesses, how to give the holy name to Krishna, how to give prasadam. Those are our main outreach, books, prasadam, and the holy name. How do you give those to more and more people? And then how do you give them the facility when they get a little interested? That we can cultivate, that they can come to the temple and see people actually practicing, you know, what they read about in the book. When they said they will be enlivened, and the world can become a much better place. Nothing else is going to help in Kali Yuga. Lord Chaitanya's second time movement is predicted in Kali Yuga. That it's spread far and wide, and it is spread far and wide. And the Kali Yuga is working very hard to spread this with sex and intoxication and gambling and meeting also. Right? India now meeting is increasing all the time. And China. Places where they didn't get so much meat before, but Kali is working hard. People degraded. And the devotees, we have to work harder than Kali. How to rescue them, how to give them in real life, give them Srimad Bhagavatam. The essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is just bhakti. So many information is here about society, government, you know, everything, about the universe. But the essence of all of them is to understand that Krishna is the supreme, Krishna is true Bhagavatam Sayam. He's got a modern Krishna. He's the supreme controller. He's the origin of everything. So, how to engage in Krishna service? How to somehow arrange our lives so we can be always engaged in Krishna service? So, all these things are there. We should learn to respect all the different ashrams. You might have seen that movie by Chokhari. They have that concept. Radha Swami was informed and said, that was my fault. So they said every time you talk to them, your husband, you glorify the Brahmacharya for their renunciation and how much they're always engaged in Christian service. And, you know, they're doing sankirtan and they're preaching and they're living in the, you know, one world, talking all and having to unroll their mosquito net every night and sleep on the stairway and everything. And then every time you met the Brahmacharya, you glorify the Brahmacharya for how they were, you know, living at home and practicing sadhana and giving support in the temple and all the good things that they did. But gradually it became a very loving relationship between the two ashrams. And we're finding that everywhere. Everybody should be respecting everybody and looking to help each other in how to serve Krishna. Not only amongst the devotees, but everywhere we go. People see a devotee that's very happy and, you know, absorbing Krishna. And they're attracted and they want to, you know, find out what's going on. Like sankirtan devotees go out. If we're very happy and if we're attracted, if we're not happy, we're thinking, oh, I have to do this. And then nobody will be happy. The householder is working, but he's in his house is a temple, and he's coming home, not just to the wife who, you know, has cooked nicely for him, but cooked nicely for Krishna, taking care of the altar, you know, teaching the children, you know, some puja and some bhajan. And then he comes home and he, in spite of how difficult it is to work outside in the world, in business, have a job, and he comes home and everything is nice. You can be thinking of that all day. His home is the temple, he's going home. And how to make it a better temple. And ideally to bring other people in. If one is very, very rich and he should have big festival, Krishna conscious festivals. If he's very poor, he should have, you know, small festival. So in Bhaktivedanta, they have that one family, they have Jagannath deities in their house. They had only one room. And they do like full puja all the time, and once a week or once a month they have the chapan boga, and all the neighbors come around and donate. And now they got another one, one just for Jagannath and one for Brahma. So, you know, people are really dedicated to Krishna. There's no material circumstance which, you know, can stop us. Quite the key is to see it. Transcendental service to Krishna. And that is the whole point. Chant the holy name and get purified and develop this Kavijivi Doya. You know, when will I get this compassion for all the communities of the world? Nija Sukha Bhuli Kodi Bhavi Doya. When in my heart will I give up trying to satisfy my own desire and my own comforts and to set out to preach Chiyagata Hale, Kori Baker Charles. When will I then set out to preach the Sankirtan mission of Lord Chaitanya without considering anything about my own comfort, my own so-called happiness? Because, of course, that will be ultimate happiness. Only concerned about Krishna's pleasure. Only concerned about helping people. It's a natural propensity of the living entity, the human being, to help others. But we don't always, mostly everyone is so busy worrying about their own problems. But we've seen, like recently, now with this, what was it in China, the earthquake, right? And the floods, and, you know, the whole world, people get thinking how to help. I was in America after that one big hurricane a couple years ago. And of course that was all the news. Katrina, Katrina, Katrina. They should name me think that in Krishna. Okay. But all over America and even all over the world, people were flying in doctors and aid and, you know, all over America people were collecting donations and, you know, volunteering to go there and help people. They get naturally, when they see And I was thinking, well, you know, we should feel like that all the time when we see that just everyone is suffering so much because they don't have Krishna. And where are they going to end up? The way they're living. Right? They may be driving in a whatever kind of car is supposed to be very nice, and they may have, you know, a big house, like your Mr. Ambani is building his house now. How much is it supposed to cost? Somebody told me $2.5 billion.
It's costing around 400 crore.
I don't know how much that is, but anyway, $1 billion for how? 37 floors. I don't know if you have one floor for a temple in Krishna. So, you know, he's concerned about his own misgratification, his own prestige. And Krishna has somehow given him all this facility. But the devotee appears to him and he's suffering so much. And he's buying his ticket for long, long ticket for suffering. Everybody, whether they're poor or rich, whether they're living in a peaceful society, no earthquakes, no floods, and no tornadoes, no AIDS, and no SARS, and no Asian bird flu, and all the things that we're supposed to be worried about, right? The airport's advertised, you know. And then most of the airports now, when you come in, they have a special camera that takes your temperature. And somebody has to sit there watching the screen all day, and if you have too many colors, then you have to check it. You know, if you got, you know, if you're sick, you have a cough, you have to, you know, worry. You come into Japan, they have a big sign behind the immigration. Increased security to prevent terrorism. But they've never had terrorism. Especially from foreigners, never. Only from Japanese people have done terrorism. But foreigners never. But the foreigners have to put the fingerprint, take a picture, it takes forever to get in. And then they go for everybody's bag. Just to make you scared, there's danger, all the subways, local train. I know they have here in New York. It says if you see something, say something. So it's kind of a simple way. Other places, you know, they have, if you see something suspicious, inform somebody. And in Singapore, they have television all over the subway station showing, you know, people leaving a bomb on the train and dialing their phone after they get off the train and blowing it up. You know, make it scary. Always look around at everybody, be suspicious of everyone, right? Watch out for everyone that could be a terrorist, you know. Devotees are looking at everyone thinking they could be devotees. Should be. Of course we have to be careful, but we want to think of how to, you know, contact as many people as possible, how to give them. If we go out, it even look like devotees. If you have Jiva, everyone sees that they get so much benefit. That's preaching itself without even saying one. You know, one is just happy and people know what you're devoting. That's powerful preaching. So, chant and be happy. Whatever ashram you're in, we shouldn't read this purport. Every brahmachari can go, I have to meet to get married. Prabhupada said the brahmachari life is tough. Right? Marriage is safe. Marriage is also difficult. Because then you have to support the household and support the product, the combination of man and woman. The only thing that can make any ashram or any environment comfortable and happy is, you know, to be really Krishna conscious. People may think they're happy and you know, if they have a good job and they got a big house and bank is giving you a big loan to buy a bigger house and a bigger car, right? That's how the bank, you know, they keep people working, right? They want you to be in debt. Devotees realize we have unlimited debt to Krishna, and there's so many people, and the only way to repay that debt is to what Guru and Krishna have given us, is to give it to others. Krishna doesn't need anything, but he wants to see us preaching and giving Krishna consciousness to as many people as possible. That was Lord Chaitanya's mission, and so Lord Chaitanya and all of his associates did. They went out every day chanting, dancing, begging people, please take the holy name, please chant on Krishna. Not asking for anything else. So thank you very much. It's very nice to be here with all the enthusiastic preachers, maintaining such a big place. The electric bill here is more than many temples, maybe here in expensive. But that's because so many people are coming and seeing so much Krishna conscious things going on. And besides that, it's already going out. And this is being built so much in everywhere and everywhere. So it's very, very wonderful. They're pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. Seeing more and more temples opening all the time, all over Delhi. We'll keep it up. We want every home. But only asking every home should have all, at least one of them. Prabhupada said first, he said Krishna book in every home, and he said, well, seven at least. Long as we go, keep working at it. In Switzerland, at one point, they sold so many books tested, and when people said they already had it, they said, we should have an extra one. Sometimes people would take a second one, should have a spare for whatever, I don't know what reason they told them. When their children grow up, you offer to them, when they move out. We're thinking like that always. Reach out more and more. We'll always be happy. If we're thinking of our own pleasure, then no matter what you get, it never settles. Always want more. Turn this propensity for increasing and for making more and more temples, more and more devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Parthasarthi ki jai. Parthasarthi ki jai. Shri Sitaram Prabhupada. Any comment or question?
The initial stage, so we do everything for our pleasure only.
Huh?
In the initial stage, we do everything for our pleasure only.
Who does?
When we are coming into Samastha, everything we are doing for our pleasure, even chanting, sometimes we do for our pleasure.
Yeah. Of course, when we do devotional service, we will get to it. Because Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure, Rasa Raj. But if we're thinking, I will do this to get pleasure for myself, and in the beginning, probably we're all thinking it. If we don't give that up, then we won't get that pleasure. But we will get, we can't avoid the pleasure. There's a very, very advanced way, like the gopis. They don't want any reciprocation from Krishna for fear it might distract them from serving Krishna. But that's impossible because Krishna reciprocates. And it says, you know, whatever you give Krishna, he's going to give you back so much more than you give him. So the pleasure will be there. The more we're just trying to please Krishna, and by serving the devotees or pleasing others, by giving them Krishna, that's very pleasing to Krishna, more than directly trying to serve Krishna. Just like if you're cooking. So there could be two same households cooking. And both of them are devoting. So one could be cooking and thinking, oh, my husband likes this, my children like that, I have to cook it for them, and then put it on the altar for them and serve the husband and children. Another one may be cooking and thinking, this is for Krishna, Krishna likes this so much, and I really want to please Krishna, and she makes a beautiful offering and braids, and, you know, and then gives it to the husband and children who are very happy, right? So it may look the same to an outsider, but there's a big difference. So that's just an example. And in all, whatever ashram we're in, that could be, if we're thinking of, you know, I'll go out and week because I'll get some donations, and if I get a nice donation, then I'll get a new facility or something, a new iPod or whatever. We won't be very expensive. Radhanath Swami Prabhupada, he met in the airport from quite famous Bhajan singer, and they had a lot of time. The singer said that when he sings in a concert performance for money, that it's not so satisfying. But when he sings the Bhajan, it's for himself and for Krishna's pleasure. And with his friend, then he feels very, very happy. Even if singing the same bhajan, he's got a big crowd of people adoring him and everything, and money's coming, but he doesn't feel so sad. Now, someone might, a very materialistic person, may like it, because they have no idea about Krishna. So the more we can think this is for Krishna, become Krishna, I don't know him up. Right? That's what they're singing, and they say that in Jagya. Idam Krishnaya, Idam Namama. This is for Krishna, this is not for me. But, whatever you give to Krishna, he will reciprocate unlimited effect. But we shouldn't be thinking, I'll give some pleasure, I'll do this for my pleasure, I'll do this. That's neophyte, it's not to add it next to it. We want to write about that. By association of devotees. Getting absorbed in giving, serving, caring, taking care of devotees, taking care of everyone is up. Not just the people in the hurricane and the flood or that have AIDS. Everyone is up. Think of it, they're not engaged in any kind of devotion. Right? Yes,
I did not hear. We have so many companies in Japan, Honda, Suzuki, Canon, Sony, and they all have a traction in this area. If you could please then guide us and enable us to how we can go to traction to be able to respond.
Can you speak a little slower?
Sorry. As in our India, we have so many companies which are based in Japan, like Honda, Sony, Canon, Suzuki, and they all have a traction in this region of Britain. So if you could kindly guide us, right, how we can approach these people Japanese head so they can be able to trust with them.
Japanese? They're also spirit souls. So we have to try to find ways to get them to sadhana. That's for everybody. Books. Japanese are very hard on the outside. Inside is very soft. But it's not easy to open up the shell. Like Americans are more like China, it's not much inside either, but you can crack it open easily. So for the cashew nut, it's hard to, very hard shell. I know I read about business. Japanese, they don't like to talk about the business that they rather have dinner and of course drink and play golf and everything. And then if they decide that you're an all right person, they'll sign the contract. They don't want to just talk about what you're offering them right off. So in any preaching, try to make friends with people. So if we can do that, you can't just rush in and say, but you just say hello, how are you, welcome to India, and we can help you. Japan has an ancient connection with India because of Buddhism. Although most of these people, they're not Buddhists by any means. You have to be patient very much. Like Russians, maybe you can rush right in, you can make friends right away. They're different. The Japanese are very careful and cautious. when you approach them, if you can meet them, give them some prasad, invite them to the restaurant. And we have a nice restaurant here. You can say we know any Japanese or vegetarian because your food is all of them. It's not the case anymore. But one girl in Hawaii was going out on Sankirtan all the time. So many Japanese tourists, but 25% of them are Japanese. 50% of the tourist money comes from them. That means they spend on the average 4 times. So she asked me, how can I get paid to the Japanese? So I said, you have to love them. She got very angry. No, you got to tell me some secret mantras or something, you know, I can say to these people. And I said, no, you have to love them. So a couple days later, she came and said, you're right. And that's for everybody. And there's no trick to preaching amongst the devotees, to yourself even. We have to love, you know, a doctor has to really care about the patient or to get results. The mother has to love the child, otherwise, you know, she's just beating and forcing this child, and you should be what I want you to be. The child doesn't, you know, as soon as it's old enough, it runs away. But if there's love, then you can, you know, for love or money, people will do anything. So the basic thing is you have to love the person and pray to Krishna and work on it. You should get some Japanese books, make gifts. They'll be impressed that you bothered to translate their Indian books into their language. They may not read it, but, you know, most people who get books don't read it. Great majority. Sometimes after 20 years, people read it and become devoted. So, we don't worry about that. But be very friendly, be very happy. Be very good. And there's many, many Indian companies in Japan now, having their headquarters in Japan. Indians are everywhere. But I'm waiting for them to preach outside of their own community. They're building all over America millions of dollars, temples, museums, you know, for people to come and look at, but mostly only their own Gujarati or their own South India or their own come. The city where I grew up, I never saw an Indian until I went to the university. Now it's the second biggest Indian population in America. But, you know, they have so many companies, all Indian, so many apartment complexes, all Indian. Big Hindu temple, $9 million. And I've seen the Indians, they're brilliant at business. They can go anywhere and learn the language overnight. Right? Do business with the local people. But socially, and the devotees, I don't see the Indian devotees, very few going out and utilizing those skills to preach to the indigenous aborigines, they call them, you know, like the British, the militias, and the Americans, and all them. You know, why should you be afraid? You're not afraid of the business. I see them like in Japan, and they're doing business all day long with each other. Talking Japanese and everything. But if I Japanese, they don't care about religion. They can't understand anything. But any soul can. But you have to present it in a loving way, you have to present it, you know, in a way that they can take it. Prabhupada did have that. He could go anywhere and preach to anyone. But the real secret was that he saw everyone in his spirit soul as part of Krishna. Even in, I think, one of the temples in South India, famous one, they have that sloka, Shirata, Vinandra, Kalinga, Prakasha, Yavana, and the priests are told that when it's your Prabhupada, he believed that. He really believed it. Therefore, he could go and he could preach to anyone, and he knew that the holy name would elevate anyone. so that we have to have this kind of faith. And then throughout all over the world, people are waiting and waiting on it. That why is Krishna put all these Indian people in every country? Right? Of course, they can make money, but that's not the ultimate reason. The ultimate reason is that they can, it should be preached. Some are, and they're taking up Krishna consciousness. And the foreigners are coming to India now more and more often. So we want to take advantage of that as a way to reach out. Japanese are generally, when they're outside of their own country, much easier to deal with than when they're in. They lose enough. They're actually very soft-hearted people. But their exterior is very hard. It's like, you know, macadamia nuts. We have those in India. If you do, you've probably never seen one. But the shell is just like iron. The nut is the most opulent nut. You can almost squeeze the oil out with your hand. And there's nothing like it. But the shell is like iron. And so when you break that, you know, if you hit it too hard, you smash everything. But you have to hit it really hard. So some people are like that. But to get at that nice inside, you have to take it easy, spend a lot of time. And that's what everybody, to really cultivate people and make them into real devotees, even your own children. You know, you have to really spend time, you have to love them, you have to be tolerant and patient, and not expect, you know, quick returns. Now everybody wants a quick fix. They want the medicine that cures the disease overnight, you know, immediately. Right? They want the investment that makes you rich overnight. Right? They're advertising everywhere. Right? You can, the churches in Africa advertise, the church will make you rich. Just come here, you'll prosper. They want that quick results, but patience is it. Virtue in every society and the group of Goswamis with that also. Patience is the last thing. Enthusiasm, determination is patience. So we have to be patient with people who preach to and patient with us. You read Shamasundar's article on that he wrote about their recovery. He gave a very nice explanation of understanding what patience means. You know, why they call it patient in the hospital. So we have to learn that. We're all patients in this material world, this insane asylum of the material world. And we've got some secret we want to think of how to get there. Books, prasadam, holy name, best of all. Alright? Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Radha Krishna Sarthi Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.